Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Okay, gang, if you want to grab your coffee and open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark chapter 12. We've been talking about this one portion of Scripture, with asking the question, as Kathy alluded to, are we all in? And we've been focused on this particular verse from the Gospel of Mark chapter 12. And I'd like us all to read it again, because it's a fantastic and a very, very deep portion of Scripture. Hopefully, by reading it over and over again for over a month, we will have this committed to memory, which would be good. So let's all read together. Ready? Matthew chapter 12, 28 through 31. Ready? 1, 2, 3. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Okay, so this is a very important portion of Scripture that we've been focusing into. And Jesus is speaking with some religious leaders in the time. And this really gets at a core. Are we all in? Are we loving God? Last week we looked at, are we loving God with all of our heart and with all of our soul? And what that means, you know, being the very center of our being. That includes, when we talk about our heart and our soul, that includes our emotions. And I know that that's a very difficult thing. It's hard for us to break out heart and soul. You know, what's the difference between the two? And even theologians wrestle with where is this intersection? And so there's some differentiations, kind of like trying to determine when we think about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's a difficult concept for us to grasp and wrestle with. But that's okay, because even the Greeks and the Hebrews in culture had a differing understanding of the heart and the soul and what that meant. The Greek culture felt that we had a body, and that the body, then a soul would inhabit the body, and then at death the soul is released. That's primarily a Greek idea, but the Hebrew thought was that they were much more connected, that primarily we are a soul, and part of that soul has a body. The Spurgeon Bible, a study Bible, says, with all your heart means intensely, you know, with all of our effort. With all of our soul means sincerely, most lovingly. And with all our strength means with all of our energy, with every faculty and every possibility of our nature. And if I will remind you that when they asked Jesus this, these Pharisees and these Sadducees and now the scribes, when they were asking these questions over the last several verses leading up to where we were in verse 28, is Jesus' response was to draw from something very familiar to them, something that comes from the book of Deuteronomy. It was a prayer that they did morning. It's a prayer they did at night. It was called the Shema. It went from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 5, when Moses, after he had rehearsed the giving of the Ten Commandments, he then turned their attention. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Okay, this was something very familiar to them. And so Jesus was saying, and he was referring to this prayer, this foundational prayer that they understood. And when we look here at Jesus' response, though, it's the same, but it's a little different, too. You see how he adds something? And hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. And then he throws in, with all your mind. kind of helping us a little bit more, expounds on this and then says, with all your strength. So today I want to kind of go through something that jumped off the page as I kind of spent some time in it this week. You know, because we talk about these various things, I want to press. When Jesus asked the question, when they were asked Jesus the question, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus' response was, the greatest commandment is what? Come on, everybody. Love the Lord with all your heart. No. I know that that's our answer. And I know that, yes, you're right, but it wasn't the first part of his answer. And I was like, wait, because I really began to kind of break. I was going through every word and really pressing into it. They asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, it's this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you see that? I bet most of you have never, you're just talking about semantics here. No, really, he's spoken. No. I'd like to present to you today, maybe to expand your image, because if we really press down of what this is, we forget a very important part of this. Jesus could have just said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's not what he said. He was referring them back to something that began, the Shema. Okay? And that's important. So when we think about loving the Lord with all of our mind, I'd like to make our first point today this. To love the Lord our God with all of our mind, we have to Shema. Shema means to hear. We have to begin. If we want to love God with all of our mind, it has to begin with us hearing. It's a very, very common Hebrew word. Hear, O Israel. And it's easy for most of us to consider hearing as just sound waves coming into our ears. And for the parents in the room here today, have you ever talked and maybe your kids were hearing but not listening? Has anybody ever had that problem? Okay, well, let's flip tables. Have you, as a kid, or when you in all your life, have you ever heard but really not listened and not heeded and not comprehended? Absolutely. And so the Hebrew word here, Shema, is actually a lot deeper than just sound waves or sound waves entering your ear. It's significantly deeper. In fact, Proverbs 20 verse 12 says that the hearing ear, that's the Shema, okay? The ear that hears, the ear that Shema, the hearing ear, the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. So those of you who say, you know, I just don't listen. No, God made you to do more than just have sound waves enter your ear. He actually made you with the capacity and the ability to do something greater. Let's press into what this is. This Hebrew word, Shema, means actually to pay attention, to listen, and to act, to obey. In fact, it's very interesting that the word, there is no separate word for obey in Hebrew. It's Shema. It's all tied in together. Hear and obey. That's what they're referring to. So I have a pet peeve. And how many of you have ever had this happen? You're having a conversation with somebody and you're talking with them and how are you doing? Oh, I'm great. How are you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. And then, and you know, tell me about your day. And they start going on and next, anybody ever had that? Are they paying attention? I played a joke. I have a relative who's really bad on the phone about, I call it yesing me. And so, well, how are the kids doing? And I start talking and I can hear that they've checked out because they're like, yeah. And when I hear that, I start making up stuff. Yeah. And Ellie grew a third arm and, you know, it got gangrene and then we had this and they're like, Oh, that's great. And I let it go for a lot. Bad preacher. I just kind of realize. And then finally I'll say something like really crazy. Like, and then what did you just, I've said it for the last 5 minutes and you've just been yesing me. And so that anybody had that happen to them? Has anybody done that to somebody? Has anybody done that to God? How many times do we get so busy doing our life that we just, yes, God. We just, okay, yeah. Shall love the Lord with all your God. And yet God's word comes to us and it's here and he's constant and he's consistent. And yet we have this tendency to go through and we're not worshiping God with all of our mind. when we are not taking time to hear. And I mean hear like Shema, when we're hearing and listening and we're paying attention and obey. Because I guarantee you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, God is talking all around you. His voice is not silent. Let alone the fact that he's given us his word. He's also speaking to us through the circumstances of our life, through the witness of the Holy Spirit that he gives us in peace, and he gives us an unction of understanding his nods and understanding the prodding of the Spirit. And he's also given to us through the voice of the concert of those around us, of his followers in Christ. God speaks in many ways. And so we need to pay attention, to listen and to act, to obey. Exodus 19:6 kind of gives us another deeper understanding of Shema. It says, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my commandment, you shall be my treasured possession among all people." Now it's interesting here, indeed obey, okay? It's two words. And you know what those words are? Shema, Shema. You ever say, listen, listen? Or what I do to my kids, hey, hey. Hey, didn't get it. Hey, hey. Sometimes in ball games, you know, so hey, 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 watch, watch. Grip, grip. Oh, I'm sorry. What? I whistle? I have been called out. I have had a tendency. But in my defense, in a crowded store, I can just go, and my kids will go, I didn't do it. Here's the microphone. But yeah, I could do that. And they're not dogs, I know. But at the same time, if it walks like a dog and bark. Anyway. Shema, Shema. I like how it says Shema, Shema. Look, and that sometimes that's what God is in fact saying to us is listen, listen. And so that's for us, gang, to understand there's not a separate word for obedience, and listening and doing are connected. And I want to also tell us today that we don't change our mind by an act of the will. It's by accepting God's love and grace and then the impact that his love has on us. So my first point again was to love the Lord with all of our mind. We have to listen. We have to listen and obey. But the second thing is we have to allow Christ to transform our mind. The Apostle Paul has some pretty good instruction for us about what this looks like. And he's writing to his beloved church in the Romans here. And he says, look, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. I like that. He's making his appeal. Okay, he's taking it up by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Again, this is by the mercies of God, which is your spiritual worship. And I love verse 2 because here's the instructions for us. Do not be conformed to this world, but be what, gang? Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So what does this look like? You know, I was praying, God, how do we communicate this? And probably the easiest way is, how do we make Jesus the Lord? Because he is Lord of all, right? So of his titles, he's Lord of all. So is he Lord of our mind? Do I allow Christ's lordship of my thoughts? Or is he a visitor that comes in and out, and from time to time, you know, when I'm really convicted, I'll yield it? Or is he Lord of my thoughts? Because only when we allow Christ to be Lord of our mind are we then going to experience the transformation, that renewal that he wants to bring for us. So many people miss out by making a transforming of their mind an act of the will. It's far beyond it. Yes, there is will. Yes, we submit to him, but it's not something that we achieve simply by putting our mind to it. No. We have to put Christ in our mind, and we have to submit or to yield our mind to what Christ wants to do. And so how we do this, as I was praying, Lord, how do I communicate this? I just want to share that I believe it has something to do with allowing the Holy Spirit to be the gatekeeper. Everybody say gatekeeper of our mind. Okay, Philippians 4:8. You know, this is a twofold thing. What should I be filling my mind with that shows that I'm loving God? And so, yes, I'm going to talk about what do we do for our entertainment? What do we do for the conversations that we have? What is the Holy Spirit? Am I allowing God to be Lord, to be the gatekeeper of what I allow in? Philippians 4, 8. Again, Paul writing to his church in Philippi says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, that eliminates the liar's table for a lot of us, right? That eliminates some of us of a good chunk of our conversation. Whatever is honorable, well, that just eliminated the rest of it. No. Whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And Netflix just went out of business. No, the truth is, what do we do? What are we allowing into our minds? And is the Holy Spirit the gatekeeper? Have we allowed God to have lordship? Is he in fact king of our minds? And I believe that that we all have room to grow. Anybody besides myself have room to grow in this area? What we're talking about here is sometimes we really don't love God with all of our minds because our minds are too filled with too much other junk. Amen, Pastor. Thank you. I have noticed that from time to time, if you want to see what's going on in your mind, Christ says, see what's coming out of your mouth. And there are times that when I get really, really run down and really, really busy and I get challenged and I'm surrounded, I got to admit, sometimes I can hear things come out of my mouth. I go, whoa, 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 whoa. Where did that come from? Well, it didn't come from somewhere else. It came out. You got to understand, you have to constantly feed and constantly bring things in as Paul has given us instruction, because in the mind is a battlefield. Where are our thoughts? It's not like we go to the Walmart to go to buy a thought now, do we? Right? Or not even as Kathy said, we don't even just go to Barnes and Noble to get a thought. Where do thoughts are in your mind. That's the realm in which we use. And so Paul also has this understanding that although we walk in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6, Paul encourages us that though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy, listen to what's destroyed, arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And then he says, we take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. So there is a battlefield going on, and that battlefield is in your mind. And sometimes we embrace things that we shouldn't embrace. I've told you many, many times, I struggle that I can have a Sunday and you can talk afterwards and 25 people can say, hey, yeah, thank you, oh, something good. And then one person can say something negative. And what do you think about and stew about the whole day? The one negative thing. Some of us have been holding on to things that were said when we were kids and now we're older. And we're not allowing our minds to be renewed. Some of us have suffered legitimate loss, a humiliation. We've had people who've treated us poorly, and that's not an excuse. But what Christ offers us is we're not worshiping him with all of our mind because we continue to hold on to the definition that someone brought into our life who wasn't God. And God wants to come and look at you and redefine you and say, you can let go of that. You don't have to hold on to a grudge. You don't have to hold on to unforgiveness. You don't have to hold on to bitterness. I've got something better for you. And to worship God with all of our mind, some of us need our minds cleansed and renewed and transformed to let some of that junk out. Amen? It's time for a garage sale of our minds. Everything must go. I always like the garage sale when you go late because they're like, we just don't want it back in our room. We're just tired of it. Just take it. Church family, some of us needs to let God just take it. Just take it out. Because we can't worship God with all of our mind when we're giving space to the enemy. I think God wants to set us free. Some thoughts that we hold on to that Christ wants us to let go. And again, self-image. It's just torturous when you talk to individuals who just continue to view themselves through eyes of wounding and eyes of hurt, rather than to adopt how your Heavenly Father sees you, how Christ views you. He sees that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are precious in His sight. Doesn't mean you're not perfect. Doesn't mean that there's not areas for you to grow. But God is with you and God is for you. Amen. So to love God with all of our mind, we allow God's love to filter. Everybody say filter. To filter our thoughts. What would that look like? Imagine looking at everything. Now this is how we process. Not just what we allow in, but how we have that the thoughts going back and forth. Maybe if we filtered them through the love of God, some things would be removed. Okay? Definitely change your conversations. Look at everything through the lens of God's love and the lens of God's Word. I have to be getting God's Word inside of me for that to happen. And that means I start keeping short lists, be those things that distract me. So to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might, and with all of our mind, we have to allow God's love be the filter of how we process information. How different would it look? Because I got to tell you, there's some times that I say some things that my flesh wants to say that maybe the filter of God's love wouldn't have me say. I'm not going to ask a raise of hands because I don't want anybody's arm to be thrown out of socket there. Suffice to say, everybody in this room, I believe that we have been guilty from time to time of giving people a piece of our mind. And I had a much smarter mentor than me say, be careful of giving people a piece of your mind because you really need it all. Yeah. So maybe if we allowed God's love to be the filter, we start having some things change. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Paul goes on to let us know, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? I like this next sentence, but we have the mind of Christ. In other words, that's a bold statement by faith. We have the mind of Christ. Christ offers to you a new mind, a transformed mind, a renewed mind. And that is an act of faith as well as an act of obedience. I believe it begins with Shema, us listening, not just listening, but hearing and understanding and obeying and heeding on to these things. It also progresses as we allow the Holy Spirit to begin our filter and we watch what we bring in and we see how we process information. But finally, and if you're like me, you consider these things and you think, wow, this is a tall order. This is a tall order. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can sign up to this because I got a long way to go. Here's the good news, brothers and sisters. Here's the good news. Loving God with all our mind is not a burden. It's a blessing. I mean, let's begin through the list. Our mouths cause an awful lot of drama in our lives now, don't they? And the reason our mouths cause drama is because what our thoughts have thunk, thoughted. What we have done, what we've thought in our mind, what we have gone through and processed outside of the filter of the love of God, then sometimes, and then we go back again. What have we allowed in? So wouldn't life be a whole lot better if we allowed our mind to be renewed? I would submit to us all that one of the reasons that we have so much more anxiety, so much more stress, so much more mental illness in our culture right now is because we have a marked decline in embracing the mind of Christ in our society. We're at breakneck speed to remove God's word from everywhere. And we think that that's a wise thing to do. As if somehow we're a better culture by removing Judeo-Christian values, by removing the Ten Commandments from wherever. We're stupid in doing that. We're unwise in doing that. Even students of history are going to look at what's the transformation that happens. Societies implode and collapse among themselves. And yet we seem at a breakneck speed at our culture do the very same thing. How do we do this? You don't sit back and say, well, it's just too big of a task. It's not. It begins with each one of us allowing Christ to renew our minds and striving with the very instructions that Jesus did. Hey, Ten Commandments are great. They're great. They're wonderful. They're super. They're not bad. They're imperfect. They can't make you right. But Jesus summed it up. Hear, O Israel. Listen, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Quit compartmentalizing God. Quit compartmentalizing. He is God of all your life. Not just God of Sunday morning. He's God of all your life. He's God when you're on the workplace. He's God when you're browsing the computer. He's God when you're having conversations with friends and family. He's God when you're doing business and you're conducting the affairs of your life. He's God when you're paying your bills. He's God when you're receiving. He's God when you're suffering. He's God when you're rejoicing. He's God when you're playing sports or attending your kids' sports or doing whatever. He is God first. Do not compartmentalize. He is one God. Here, listen. Listen, Shema, he's one God of all. And love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, your thoughts, your process, with all your emotions, with all your might. And love your neighbor. Man, this is where it's at. Are you all in? Let's stand to our feet. Would you pray with me, church? Father in heaven, I praise you and I thank you for your word to us. Thank you, God. It's living, it's active. It gets into those very, very delicate and deep parts. And God, I pray as we take time to ponder your counsel to us and meditate on your word, I pray that it would be transformational. Father, I ask for your spirit to move upon each one. And Lord, help us as we consider areas that we may have shielded the transformational power of your grace, that we'd be convicted of those, not just to try harder, but to yield them to you and to allow your spirit to make us new from the inside out. I pray, God, that we would be a people who love you with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Lord, help us in this season as we begin this year to do careful analysis and allow your spirit to shine the spotlight on areas that we can address. But most of all, God, the end of these is not more knowledge about you, but that your love would shine through us more. Thank you that you love us and you've got a mission for us. And that mission for us is to share your love to transform a community and a nation and a world. I praise you that we can be part of that. Bring encouragement to your children. I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. Church family.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.